you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
We're glad you're here. Glad
leading from James chapter 4, and I'll begin at verse 4 and read up through verse 10. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He caused to live in us envies intensely? But He gives us more grace. This is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It is Friday, May 21st, 2021, and we're going to come back to these passages in just a moment as we continue with our study through this book of James, looking at chapter 4, verses 4 as some of the background. We covered it somewhat last week, but we're going to talk some more as we'll go into verse 10. But I wanted to give pastors and ministry leaders a heads up. 2 weeks from today, we'll be launching into this new pastors initiative that we've been praying up and thinking about for over a year. And we've had various meetings and gatherings where we prayed about it and brainstormed and vision casted. And a few weeks ago, we had 20 pastors meet and gather and kind of talk through some of the vision. Is this necessary? Is bringing pastors and ministry leaders together something that we feel it's time to do so we can better encourage, equip, and empower one another? And so as I had a sense and our team had a sense, yes, let's do this, we formulated some of the next speakers in the coming months. And what do they say, Jason? We put meat on the bone, or, you know, I don't know. We thought it through. And so here's a letter that went out to some pastors and ministry leaders the other day. And I'm continuing to get more names and send them out to other people. But it says, dear pastor or ministry leader, a new initiative is being launched. Come join us and be blessed. The Ministry Leaders Network, and that's what we're calling ourselves, the Ministry Leaders Network. The Ministry Leaders Network goal is to create a community of pastors and leaders that will encourage, equip, and empower one another. The topics speakers will present will be God-honoring and forthright, not just a message to tickle the ear, but to bring hope, conviction, and insight. And I'll pause here because, Jason, you and Dr. David Webb really influenced my thinking on that, that, hey, we don't need just another gathering of people to rally and hear an encouraging message and say, well, that was a great message, and then go about our day. We really want the messages, and I use the word forthright, to bring conviction and hope and insight to make changes in people so they'll leave thinking, you know, that was powerful and I'm going to take, if you will, action steps. It's going to cause me to move forward maybe in a different way. So I like that passage. We don't want messages tickling the ear, but really powerful presentations. So we have a lineup of speakers that will be their intent, is to really bring a God-honoring message that's forthright, but will bring hope, conviction, and insight. And then this message goes on. The plan is to meet on the first Friday of each month. We will gather at the Great News Media Center, 112 Lincoln Square, Urbana. And then I put right across from the indoor food court. We'll provide a delicious meal and a special speaker. We'll begin at noon and end promptly at 1:15. So be on time because we'll start right away. And then I go on to say these gatherings will be for pastors and ministry leaders. And below is our tentative schedule. So I have the Friday, June 4th, Friday, June 2nd, all on Fridays, August 6th, September 3rd, October 1st, November 5th, and December 3rd. And so far I have 5 confirmed speakers, which include Pastor Mark Jordan, The High Calling of Pastoring, Mike Krasta, Prayer is Everything, Dr. David Webb, Ministry to the Whole Person. We're waiting on a reply from Dr. Erwin Lutzer and another ministry leader, Jimmy Dodd. But Bill Allison with Cadre Ministries, he'll be equipping people to follow Jesus. And then Rick Stevens, Making Faith the Bedrock of Your Career. So we have speakers lined up through the end of this year, and we're already working on 2022. Wow, it's weird to be already thinking about 2022, but we want to have a lineup of gifted speakers that'll give them time to pray through what they're going to deliver and how to bring hope and conviction and insight to these pastors and ministry leaders. So if your pastor hasn't been contacted and you live in and around the greater Champaign-Urbana area, or you think they would be willing to drive in, we'll be meeting on Friday, June 4th, right at noon, and you can contact the station or me, 217-367-7777, or just RSVP your reservation to info@ministryleadersnetwork.org, ministryleadersnetwork.org, or mark at greatnewsradio.org, and can, you know, give them information or become aware that you're going to be attending. So it's a free gathering, and we hope all of you that are now becoming aware of it will be praying up this initiative. As I mentioned, our goal is to encourage, equip, and empower one another, these ministry leaders and pastors, so God can continue to effectively use them in their calling. So we're excited about that. A lot of prayer, a lot of organizing, a lot of meetings, a lot of thinking it all through, you know, wordsmithing the message, and then, you know, even setting up a couple of new domains. I was shocked, Jason, that Ministry Leaders Network was not taken, so I got ministryleadersnetwork.com and ministryleadersnetwork.org, and we're working on developing a page. Right now it'll take you to Great News Radio, but we'll see how God continues to lead. And I have a little link at greatnewsradio.org under ministries, and then it says Ministry Leaders Network, and it gives a little information about our goal, and it basically recaps what I just read over the air. But we'll see how God will use that in the days ahead. I kidded with Karen and a few others. I think God just wants to keep me busy because it keeps me out of trouble. So as long as I'm doing other things, it's less time for me to be misbehaving or getting in trouble. So, well, anyways, a little tongue-in-cheek there. But one thing that keeps me out of trouble for sure is God's Word, the reading of God's Word, the thinking about it, allowing it to saturate my heart and mind, giving me direction, but most importantly, revealing who God is, this great, awesome God that's full of grace and mercy, and yet He wants us to live righteously. He wants us to be holy and set apart. He wants us to be an active agent of His care and compassion to the world, and I can't think of a better thing to do on Fridays, especially with you, somebody who loves God's Word, is to walk through it, to think about it, to allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction and hope to us from it. And so, again, I began with where we left off last week, that you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? But how about opening up our time of prayer as we look at these words and see what God would want us all to know and hear from the dividing and the talking about this passage of Scripture?
Father, we just come near to you because you command us to do that in Scripture. You tell us to draw near to you, and your promise is that as we draw near to you, as we focus on you, as we turn our affections and our desires to you, that you will draw near to us. That you don't even hesitate, that is the desire that you have. And so, Father, as we look at your word, draw our hearts to your heart. Father, pray that you will make evident to us the things that we need to not only know, but the things that we need to change, the things that might feel like they're serving us well, but what they're really doing is serving as obstacles in coming to you. And, Father, in ways that we might even be allowing the enemy to have more airtime because we're not drawing near to you. Father, help us to remember that first and foremost, we are your friend, not a friend to the world. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So this passage, you love the beginning there, you adulterous people.
Yeah, jeez.
With an exclamation point. And I love that James, listen, James is the kind of preacher that we all should endeavor to be. And that is that James is loving. I mean, multiple times during this book of James, he talks about beloved brothers, all of us, you, all of us together. So James is always cultivating this language of we're in this together.
Mm-hmm.
But in the same token, James doesn't hold back and even hold back in using some pretty fiery language to describe when God's people are living apart from God, living apart from their high calling to be his people. And we're not just talking about pastors here. We're talking about everybody, because as I keep impressing, I think, through this whole book of James, is that everybody is leading somebody. Everybody is preaching a message with their life and with their words, with the things that they do and say and how they live and move in the world. And so James's problem is he's saying, listen, you say that as Christians you have wedded yourself to God, that you do believe that you are indeed the bride of Christ, that he is your groom, but you're living more to the world. You're committing spiritual and, in many cases, physical adultery.
Hmm.
And he says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? He says, listen, don't you know that when you make yourself a friend to the world, when you ascribe to the world's way of doing things and the world's way of thinking about things, that you put yourself in opposition to God? Why? Because the world is fallen. The world is sinful. The world cultivates sin. Hmm. And listen, sin would love to cut you a paycheck for doing its work, for being its friend. And James tells his people, listen, you're committing adultery because you're wedded by the Spirit to the person of Jesus Christ. And friendship with the world it puts you in opposition with God the Father. And he says, therefore, what's the therefore? Therefore, pointing you back to the fact that you're committing adultery and that your friendship has put you in opposition to God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. He doesn't just even use the language of opposition and adultery. Now he uses the language of enemy. And he says, listen, what he's really implying here is, how can you be an enemy of God in all that God has done? Because while we were still enemies, Christ died for us. God sent his son to die for us, to be an atoning sacrifice, to cover that area, that space between us and him that sin had created. So much so that Romans 8 says that we can call him Abba Father, that we can come so near and so close to him that there is nothing that can keep us from him. That's the end of Romans chapter 8. And he says, but listen, by consistently trying to operate to the world's standards and the world's way, you make yourself an enemy of God. You're trying to perpetuate a war that has already been won when you were won to Christ.
Hmm.
And he says, do you suppose it is no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously? Listen, God is jealous and zealous for you. He desires you more than anything, so much so that he gave his only son. He didn't have two, and he picked his favorite one.
Hmm.
He only has one, and he gave that one only begotten son so that whosoever believes in him might live, and not just live this kind of temporary life that we have, but have life everlasting.
Hmm.
And so he yearns over you jealously through the Spirit, and he makes that known to us through the Spirit, which dwells in us. And then he says, but he gives more grace, which means that we have, in verses 4 and 5, James is saying, we have put ourselves in a precarious position. And, oh, verse 6, but it is only by the fact that God gives more grace that we're still here.
Hmm.
That there is an opportunity. But James says, listen, you need to remember that the Bible says that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So what James is trying to tell these people is, listen, it is your pride which is causing you to live to the world, your desires to do things your way and the way that you want. And listen, the world will allow you to do that. The world will feed that. We all want newer, faster things. That's why all the billboards say that you need newer, faster things. We all want to eat more than we should eat. That's the reason why the world says supersize it. We all want to have a bigger house and a nicer this or that. And the world sends us messages every single day saying, wouldn't you be happier if you had a nicer car and a bigger house and a newer this or that? And so the world is so happy to cultivate it. It's so happy to feed into that. It's so happy because it knows our pride. The world knows our pride, and it knows exactly how to water that pride to cause pride to grow. But God, what does he give grace to? The humble. The undeserved gift of God comes to the humble, and that the humble are not those who think less of themselves, but they think of themselves less. So they think of others, and we talked about this last week. We talked about the difference between pride and humility, so we don't have to belabor that point. But as Christians, we are called to be humble. We're called, Jesus, if anything, was humble. And so what does that look like to be humble? What does it look like to live this way? Well, verses 7 and 8 actually give us the picture of what that looks like. And the verses 7 and 8 say, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The three things we need to know from these two verses are submit, resist, and draw near. And the first thing that we need to do is we need to submit ourselves to God, which means that God's ways become higher than our ways. God says, seek first the kingdom of God. And many of us have to say, well, I'm guilty of not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guilty of first seeking an opinion from somebody else or seeking my own desires or my own plans or my own purposes. How many of us have made up a list, no matter what that list is for, and then set it aside or prayed over it and said, God, I want you to have your way on this list. Maybe it's something as simple as, I sat down with a guy the other day who has made some very significant life changes, and really work to get himself more healthy. He had some heart issues and some problems. And he said, you know what, Jason, my wife and I, we make out a grocery list every week, and then we pray over that grocery list, and we ask God to remove anything from that list which might be unhealthy for us. And there are people listening to this right now who might say, that seems so silly. You know what's healthy and unhealthy on that list. It doesn't matter. You know what matters is that this person is submitting his health and how he then spends his money in terms of his health, what he fuels his body with, he's submitting that to God. How many of us have taken the decisions that we have and submitted them to God? How many of us have taken the ads? There was a guy who told me this. He did this one time, and I thought, at that point, I thought, you're nuts. And today I go, maybe you're wise. Yeah. Or maybe the fact is that what we need is people who are a little nuts following Jesus. He said he used to take all the sale papers out of the paper on Sunday and Wednesday, and he would set them on the counter, and he would pray over them and say, God, hide my eyes from anything in here that I don't need or that I think I need that I don't need. And I thought, wow, you really do that? You really ask God to protect you when you read the sale papers? He goes, yeah, because when I read them, I want all that stuff. Or I begin to think about, man, if I could just have this or have this or have this or have this. And then we fly in the face of Matthew, right? Matthew chapter 6, where it says, no, don't you trust God to feed you? Don't you trust God to clothe you? Don't you trust God to take care of you? Why are you so anxious? And James says here that we need to submit, that we need to resist, and that we need to draw near. So first of all, we need to submit to the Lord. And how else, for those who are listening who are Christian, do you relate to Lord other than in submission? Because anything else attempts to put yourself over him. It attempts to disrupt the chain of command. The Lord is the one who's in charge. We follow him, not he follows us. And or it isn't a race for first place where we're both like, it's just me and you together, Jesus. No. You know, that's that old, I used to hear that old statement all the time. People would say, Jesus is my co-pilot. I'm like, wow, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, he's not your co-pilot. Without him, you're crashing the plane. And so you desperately need him. So we need to submit. There's no other way that we relate to the Lord because he is the one who directs our steps. He is the one who created all things. Jesus taught us that he did nothing on his own, but he did everything according to what his Father said. If Jesus, the Son of God, walking here in this place, says that he needs to submit everything that he does to the Father, why do we think that we don't?
Yeah.
In fact, not only that, when Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 does battle with the devil out in the wilderness, what does he do? He doesn't argue with the devil. He simply submits himself to the word of God and offers the word of God to the devil. That's his defense. His defense is submitting himself to the word of God and allowing the word of God to do the work of God.
Yeah.
In battling the devil. But isn't that interesting? Because that's the next thing we're going to come to, right? Resist the devil. How do we resist the devil? By submitting to God. It's a progression. And it all begins with submission. I know far too many people who believe that spiritual warfare begins with resisting and not, and they don't start with submitting. And listen, that kind of spiritual warfare, that's simply pride, and the world loves that. The devil loves that. The devil's like, oh, you want to fight? You don't. We're not even really fighting. I actually have already won because you're allowing your pride to steer the ship.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the devil hates is when you allow submission to steer the ship, because then the devil has to stare into the eyes of Christ who has already won.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that. He knows that. He heard those words, it is finished. And so the first thing we need to do is submit then to the Lord. And then we resist the devil, and it says, and he will flee from you. Now, this isn't resisting the devil, isn't a tool that we employ when we feel like the devil is coming. This is a tool that we employ consistently. How do we resist the devil? By submitting. So listen, all of you who are listening on the radio right now, you need to be in God's word. That's part of resisting. Part of resisting is constantly going into his word, constantly having his word coming into you, meditating upon his word, thinking about his word, praying to God. I hear a lot of people and they're like, wow, the voice of temptation. I'm like, you know how you know one of the ways that you do battle with the voice of temptation is you pray so you can hear the voice of God. Like, I can't hear one, you know, a lot of times when I'm at home, because we have a lot of kids, there's all kinds of conversations going on. And one of the things my wife and I say all the time is, we can't have this conversation if all these other conversations are going on. And the other thing is that when I'm talking to my wife and one of my kids starts talking, it's hard for me to pay attention to two things at one time. And so what we need to do is just talk to God and pay attention to him and pay attention to his voice. Mm-hmm. That's one of the ways that we resist the devil, is we talk to God. We take it to God, and we pay attention to what God is saying. This isn't fighting him. And we have to be very careful about that, because he is a much better opponent than we are. Again, that's pride. Pride makes me think that I can do battle with the devil and I can win. I can't. If I could, then Christ didn't need to die on the cross. I can't. He's a much better opponent than I am. He's wily. He's crafty. He is all of these things. So we have to be very careful. And always our best weapon is submission. We submit and we resist by consistently submitting. And listen, When we submit and we resist and we continue to submit, what does the Bible tell us to do? We draw near to God and he draws near to us. It reminds me of one of those old cartoons that I used to watch, you know, where the bully would come, and he would come to bully the little person, but behind him one of these big people would walk up.
Hmm.
You know, and the little guy wouldn't even know that the big guy was behind him, but the bully would be like, never mind. You know, and that's kind of how it is, right? Because when we draw near to God, God draws near to us. And do you think the devil wants to do battle with God? No, he doesn't. He already knows his place in that created order. In fact, in Job, when he comes to God in Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2, if you pay attention to that text, the devil doesn't speak until God allows him to speak. So God addresses him. The devil understands that. So the greatest place that we have in spiritual warfare is to draw near to God. So we submit, and in our resisting, we continually submit, and we draw near to God, and God draws near to us. And that is what it looks like. And that's why James goes on and says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. This is him now giving them a call to repent and come back. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. He says we need to get rid of double-mindedness and find the single-mindedness that keeps your mind on Christ. He says be wretched, mourn, and weep, because he says, listen, you need to mourn the fact that you have moved away from God. And in that mourning, you need to have a return.
Yeah.
And everybody who is listening to this right now, no matter where you've been and how things have gone, no matter how you have married or wedded yourself to the world, you have the opportunity in your submission and in your resistance and in your drawing near to God to have a return, to return to that place that God has called you to do, to be. And that's verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. You will humble yourselves and say, Lord, I have really botched this up, Lord. I have wedded myself to the world, and I have thought its ways to be better. And God says, I understand that. And in your humility, watch me exalt you. Watch me lift you up. You know, there was, I think it was Charles Spurgeon who says, I may for a moment have a low opinion of myself in my humility, but I always know it's momentary because in God's economy I am exalted. He lifts me up.
Yeah, it's so easy to forget how prized we are. I mean, that God would send Jesus, his one and only son, to die for our sins, not because of our abilities or how great we were. We're fallen, we're flawed, we're sinful, and yet God saw fit because he delights in us. It's kind of amazing, some of those psalms where he sings over us, that he rejoices in us. And I would say to anyone, the mere fact that you exist meant in God's sovereignty from all of time, desired to bring you into existence because he cares for you. He wants to have a relationship with you. It's an amazing concept that we exist because God brought us into existence because he wants to have a relationship with us and fellowship with us. It's kind of amazing. So we are very valuable and cherished, and yet we also know we're flawed and in need of a Savior, and that's why we ask Jesus into our hearts and to forgive us of our sins. Well, Jason, we're out of time. I love this passage. We'll continue next Friday in chapter 4 of James. And I wrote down, we need the Word of God to do the work of God. That'll preach. That's a good one. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.